Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
My giddy aunt, it's episode 6 of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365.
My eggy aunt!
Yes. Half a dozen.
Yeah, we're up the half a dozen now. Little box, put them in a little box.
Dirty half dozen.
Yeah, the dirty dozen.
Tell you
up.
What, we've got a big one for you today. This time we have a managerial egg in the form of former Italy manager and shoe salesman Arrigo Sacchi.
Top level management egg in a nest.
Influential egg.
Really influential.
Groundbreaking egg.
Yeah.
Racist egg.
Was he?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What did he do? Why are we starting with that?
I'm just saying, well, you've got to bring it up.
Say it at the end. Like.
All right, okay.
Oh, he's brilliant. By the way, he was racist.
You know, okay, you've mentioned it. I
didn't know about this.
He's denied being racist after he's cut us in. There are too many black players at youth level in Italy. Evidence that the nation is now without dignity or pride.
Well, how was he in here then?
Oh, ruined
it. We're going to have to crack on. But That's a shame, Peter.
You've got to bring it up. It's fair enough. You know, that's a recent news story about Arrigo Sacchi.
Like, very much like Jim, who when he brings up eggs because he doesn't like to eat them very much.
Exactly. It's a funny omelette.
Yeah.
Well, this profile, or whatever you want to call it, egg thing, is has been...
Got egg on its face,
soured,
isn't it?
It's tainted. It's tainted.
Sorry to bring it up so early, guys. Maybe I should have brought it up at the end.
You've kiboshed our momentum now. Yeah. Let's focus on his football.
I've scrambled the egg.
Yeah, you have scrambled it.
Let's focus on a time before he said racist comments.
Okay, then.
Oh, well, that is a shame.
He is an incredibly important manager when it comes to people who were never footballers, for example. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have him, you would never have Jose Mourinho. You would never have...
Right, don't put that on Sacchi.
You would never have... he's done some terrible things, but... you would never have the kind of the high press, kind of like... Italian football was very different before he arrived.
It was.
And he changed a lot.
Yeah, and to add to that, Pete, considered by many, what you're saying there, is one of the most influential managers of all time. When you see the lists of great managers in the history of the game and whatnot, he's in there. Mm. Might not be number one, but he's in there.
And Italian football at club level was still hugely in hoc to the old Catenaccio, wasn't it?
Yes.
The old Helenio Herrera kind of thing. Right. And it was much more safety first, much more defensive and all that kind of stuff. And Arrigo came along. Arrigo came along and he was more like a... It feels like he was a more like proto-Guardiola type.
Guardiola type.
He was. Because he loved total football.
Yep.
He brought those Dutch players in at Milan. And of course, we're used to seeing the link between Dutch football and Barcelona. But actually, there was one there at Milan as well for a while in the 90s when or the late 80s. Well.
Yeah, he famously never played football at professional level.
No.
And he would often get criticised and put down by people saying, well, your opinion doesn't matter.
Even at Milan as well, even when he'd earned those stripes.
Yes, when he got the Italy job. People say, what, this shoe salesman? Really?
Back-to-back European Cup.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, his famous quote...
What, European egg cups.
Yeah.
His famous quote, which was often used when people would say these things, is, I never realised that in order to become a jockey, you have to have been the horse first.
Yeah. Mm. I like
very
that.
Famous quote.
Yes, very famous. Well, he started coaching his local team at the tender age of 26. And he said that I was 26, the goalkeeper was 39, and the centre forward was 32. I had to win them over.
Yeah, and that would have been so tough.
26 years old.
Would have been so tough.
It would have been. I mean, if a 26-year-old was managing my Saturday side, I would say, have you ever scored a perfect hat-trick?
Yeah, but to be fair...
What does it feel like?
Working in his favour was the fact that at that time he looked about 56.
Yeah, he did.
So he didn't have to give anyone his age. He could
very
carry
true.
On.
But it's an amazing story because when we say he started at that local side, I mean, this was a local side very much amateur. Very low-level amateur, to kind of work your way into football, never having had a playing career, really earning your stripes. I know, Jose Mourinho did it now, but Mourinho was, we knew him as Bobby Robson's translator. He was still in the eye of the press and whatnot. And whereas Sacchi, this really was working your way up, trying to get the CV beefed up a bit.
Yeah,
and so
it's almost like one of us taking over a Sunday league team and then trying to work your way up to the national team job. And he actually managed that.
It's similar to what Maurizio Sarri's done, really, because Horncastle will say that there's just, the old saying, I think I've heard him say it before anyway, where you drive around a certain part of Italy where Sarri's from, and if you see a bunch of guys playing on like a local football pitch, that team's probably been coached by Sarri at some point.
Yeah.
He used to coach at the very lowest level, and he would take every job and he'd work, starting in about 1990.
Part-time while he was still working.
Yeah.
And it is similar because obviously Sarri's at the time of recording at Chelsea.
Yeah. At the time of recording, he's not had a good professional footballer career.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although I wouldn't rule it out if he fancies it.
But exactly. He got all the way to Chelsea, though.
He did.
Imagine him going up and down the wing with a fag butt in his mouth. I'd love to see it.
But it is very similar to Sacchi. But Sacchi won the European Cup with Milan and coached the national team. So it's even more than Sarri.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Which is absolutely astounding.
I enjoyed the Chelsea bit.
Thanks,
mate.
I didn't hear it. Sorry,
we'll get
Jim.
Emails. We always do.
Sorry, Jim.
Absolutely right. He loved his teams to play... It's a system-based team. It wasn't about individuals.
It was like a kind of really fluid 4-4-2, right?
It was, yeah. He loved attacking, as you say. And he got his big break at Parma in 1985. But they were in Serie C at the time.
Yeah.
Like the third or fourth
level.
Didn't
he get them promoted or something?
Yeah, he got them promoted. Yeah. And a third tier they were. they were back in Serie B, and they were reasonably close to getting back into Serie A. And in the cup, the Coppa Italia, they beat Milan, and that was where people really saw this guy. And Silvio Berlusconi, who was the owner of Milan at the time, said, "I'm having a bit of that." Now, normally when Berlusconi says that in a sentence, it means
problematic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But with this, he basically hired the coach who'd beaten them in the cup.
But Berlusconi got absolute pelters for it.
He did.
Because everyone was saying that this guy's got absolutely no credibility at all.
Yeah, and you know, it's a funny old thing. I mean, what you were saying at the top of the show about Sacchi, Pete, you know, it shouldn't be ignored. And again, with Berlusconi, another, you know, lot of skeletons in that closet. But credit where credit's due. You got to hand it to him there. He went out on a limb and hired Sacchi, which was
one title in 20 years. You know, that like Sacchi came in and sort of went, "All right, I haven't won anything. I've been, you know, in a shitty club. What the hell have you done?" You know, exactly. When he came into the players and just sort of went, yeah.
As well, because Catanaccio was so popular at the time, and obviously that Milan side are known for that imperious, incredible defence, but at the same time, attacking football. Like, he took the blueprint and the archetype and improved it. He made it better, almost perfected it. And I mean, that is on top of, you know, coming in from being a shoe salesman. What an achievement that is. Like, I've never played the game, but I can manage it better than people that have. People that have.
It's incredible. And like we say, he went from Serie B with Parma to Milan. And in his first season at Milan, they won the title for the first time in 9 years. It just, I'm trying to think of some sort of equivalent, but I can't really.
It's a step up, isn't it?
It really is.
He's not. I don't think he's got much of an imposter syndrome.
No. I can also say,
but he could have done quite easily.
The season they won the league, they scored 43 goals in 30 games.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a huge.
It wasn't blistering. At the time, though, that was, you know, comparable to the, you know,
the very
Man
best
City
in Italy.
I know what you mean. I mean, the side that
they conceded 14 goals in 30 games, which is pretty good.
It's incredible. I mean, a few years ago, the Telegraph did a thing on the greatest teams of all time. Now, this was just before Guardiola's Barcelona, and Sacchi's Milan were fourth behind the Netherlands in 74, Hungary in 53, and Brazil in 1970.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Not too shabby.
Not bad.
Okay, so you might argue they'd be fifth in that list now. Yeah. I know it's very subjective.
But his big thing wasn't actually what they performed domestically. Of course, he delivered Milan their first title for ages, but they only won one title under him. It was what they did in the European Cup that really got the juices flowing.
Absolutely right. All right, we'll talk about that a little more, Luke Moore, after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Eggs! Eggs! EGGS eggs!
Welcome back to the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bed 365.
Pete, press the egg button a few times. Yeah, I haven't had it yet. Do you like this egg? Thanks.
There we are.
All right.
Yeah.
Feel sated now.
Yeah, I just like
Satisfied.
I just like it, yeah.
One can often think of Milan as one of the traditional big boys in European competition. Maybe in the last few years, well, not maybe, definitely in the last few years, that's waned slightly. Mm. But they
it's
weren't.
Waned a lot,
yeah,
let's be fair.
It has.
And they haven't even been playing in it, let alone go towards winning it.
That's true. Well, when Sacchi came along, their reputation that chaps of a similar age to us will have been well aware of in the 90s and whatnot was really brought along because of Sacchi,
yeah,
with those back-to-back European Cups. And they were the last side before Zidane's Real Madrid did it to win Europe's top competition back-to-back. Mm.
And also, by the way, until Zidane did it, the only egg to ever do it, because none of the managers at Real Madrid defended it back-to-back in the, you know, in the 50s or whatever. And until Zidane did it, Brian Clough was never an egg.
No. Mm.
So Sacchi was the only egg to defend it.
What is it? The only egg to defend it.
Yeah,
I thought you said he was the only egg until I was trying to think of an egg who was in.
No, so Zidane obviously did it as an egg, but at that point, until then, it was the only egg to do it.
Tell you what, though, he built some team at Milan.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be fair; they had some bloody good players.
Well,
yeah.
he brought in the Dutch trio of Van Basten, Hullet, and Rijkaard. The back four: Tassotti, right back; Baresi, Costa Corta, centre backs; and Maldini, left back. Airtight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you scored a goal against that defence, doesn't matter if you were beaten 5-1 on the day, although unlikely that they scored five. You should get a medal.
Yeah.
Out medals, whoever scored against that back
pretty
four.
Pretty good, yeah.
That is a manager that was backed.
Well,
do you know that, like, they didn't concede many goals in the European Cup either? I mean, their first round, they won 5-0 in aggregate. Then they beat Real Madrid 2-1 in aggregate. I'm actually fast forwarding a bit to 90, by the way. And then they beat a Belgian.
No, they beat Real Madrid, I think, 6-1 in aggregate.
Not the second time round.
Oh, right. But they still tonked them, though.
Yeah, they didn't concede many, put it that way.
And then when they played Stoi Bucharest, a very decent Stoi Bucharest,
that's, in the 1989 final,
4-0 in the final.
Mm. Yeah.
They saved their goals for the right time, it's fair to say. In the midfield, Frank Rijkaard, what a player he was. Sadly, a lot of people, again, similar age to us, will just remember him for spitting on Rudi Völler in the 1990 World Cup. But he was a fantastic player. Big Carlo Ancelotti in the centre of midfield as well. And that pressing style, they were trying to overrun midfield, essentially. And Ruud Gullit was crucial to that, because he would come back as well and get involved. And Sacchi, they played zonally. He was a huge fan of the old zonal marking.
And
it wasn't about man-to-man, it was about the zones on the pitch, and if someone goes in your zone, right, you hand him over. And it worked, a treat for them. Yes, they had the players to do it.
But it's also very difficult, not with Van Basten, of course, but with Hullet and Rijkaard. It's quite difficult in your own mind, and I was quite young when this happened, but I do kind of remember it, quite difficult in your own mind to work out exactly what position those two played in.
That's right.
Because they could sort of play anywhere.
That's the total football, though, isn't it?
Yeah, Ruud Gullit played off Van Basten in that cup final against Bucharest, but he played like sweeper at Chelsea for a bit.
Yeah. Well, but that's the total football, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Ruud Gullit to me was kind of, is he a forward or is he a central midfielder? Because he would almost, we talk about the box to box midfielder.
He's an egg now, by the way, Pete.
Is he now? Oh,
yeah. You talk about box to box midfielder. It was almost like he was sort of, how would you say, penalty spot to centre spot shuttler. Do you know what I mean? He would help out in that press in the midfield, but would support Van Basten. He was an incredible player, Ruud Gullit.
Yeah,
he really was. And having Van Basten up front isn't too shabby as well, of course. But despite having this zonal system, of course, the players would be allowed to express themselves within that framework. And there's that amazing quote, Luke. What did he say about
He said that I'm a director. It's like a director in a movie. I assign you the role, but you have to interpret the role as you best see fit. And he also didn't use a sweeper. Back then, remember, everyone in Italy was using a sweeper.
Libero.
Yeah, and he didn't do that either.
Uh-huh.
He didn't need to do that because he had... And the thing is, you know, Catenaccio, which literally means to bolt the door, doesn't
it? Yes, that's right.
You don't need to do that when you've got Baresi and Maldini and Costa. I mean, you don't need extra insurance.
But you know what was funny about the press then, though, is that because many teams didn't do it, and you had those brilliant players in there that could do it, it freed up Baresi to play it out from the back.
So he could almost be like without them needing an extra one.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it freed up Van Basten either side of this kind of war that was going on.
You got the extra man to win loads of games 1-0.
Yes.
Yeah. People forget that Frank Rijkaard and Ruud Gullit grew up together. Like their fathers came to the Netherlands at the same time. So they grew up.
Didn't they kick around on the same part of like wasteland near their house?
Which is a bit mad. And then they just find themselves at the same club.
Amazing, really. Right. And then in 1990, as you say, they beat Benfica 1-0 in the final. Sacchi once said, great clubs have one thing in common throughout history, regardless of era or tactics. They own the pitch and they own the ball. That means when you have the ball, you dictate play. And when you were defending, you control the space.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's kind of quite a Cruyffy thing to say as well.
It is quite a Cruyffy thing to say. And you can imagine Guardiola saying that. Jose Mourinho, probably the second part. Controlling the space and whatnot, not maybe not so much dictating the play. But that's the thing, that they were just in charge, weren't they? Although it's fair to say that surprisingly only one league title in the few years he was there. But in 1991 he took charge of the Italian national side, which again caused a lot of controversy because they were going, what, this is getting out of hand. This bloody bloke,
it's mad, isn't it?
He doesn't know anything about football.
Refusal to accept that if he's winning your back-to-back European Cup,
he's probably got what it takes.
I don't care what he's won, Jim. But he didn't start too well. They failed to reach Euro 92, but then of course 1994 World Cup was his side, and they didn't look too convincing at times, Italy.
Until the knockout stage,
That's right.
Baggio carried them.
A little bit fortunate. Baggio dragged them through, but they still reached the final. But even then, I think back in Italy, from what I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, the press were a bit like, well, so what? You know, we didn't win it. And they were a bit like, nah. Weren't best pleased. But one of the impressive things about that 1994 final, Baggio was injured. He was gone. He probably shouldn't have played the game.
I think Baresi was playing on one leg as well, wasn't he?
Exactly.
At the age of about 50.
And they also had this sort of internal flights issue, didn't they? Yeah. Where they'd come from a lot further away than Brazil had.
Yeah, and Brazil had a lot more, well, not a lot more, but they had some good attacking talent, obviously Romario and whatnot. But Italy managed to keep a clean sheet against them. You know, and it was the first World Cup final that ever went to penalties.
They had some good players, Italy. My goodness me. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the glorious, shiny egg in a nest and now full egg that is Arrigo Sacchi, but his management career has been punctuated by having quite a lot of amazing players. I mean, the first 11 that played the night, I mean, forget the European Cup business, the first 11 that played the final, Pagliuca, Benarivo, Maldini, Baresi, Roberto Musi.
Missing Costa Curta.
Yeah, Robbie Baggio, Dimitri Albertini, Dino Baggio, Nicola Berti, Roberto Donadoni and Daniel Massaro.
Yeah.
And as you rightly say, a couple of players missing through injury, Costa Curta and a couple of others. I mean, it's an incredible group of players to play with. And I think from 87, whatever it was when he took over, through to when he went back to Milan like 95, but it didn't really work out for him. That 7 or 8 year period.
97, I think it was.
Yeah, of course he has to do what he's got to do, but he has some good players.
Oh, he did, yeah. When you were on his 6th, though, they went out in the first round.
Yeah.
Which was disappointing.
That's when he left, wasn't
he? He left. And it was a shame because he never quite got Italy playing as effectively as Milan. It was very different.
He wouldn't have as much time with the players. It's difficult to gel them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But as you say, after coaching Italy, he then had a few uninspiring stints with Milan, Atletico Madrid and Parma. But it was that time at Milan. And it's often with a manager, if you look at what they've won, and again, those backs about European Cups can't be understated, but it's the legacy and the influence.
The legacy.
And the interesting thing about his second Milan stint is that he was essentially hoisted by his own petard because they became so used to success. I mean, Capello came in, won things, they had 4 league titles in 5 years, and they've been to 3 Champions League finals in the interim period. And he came in mid-season for Oscar Tabarez.
Yeah.
The players were obviously a bit older. It wasn't as happy a camp and he didn't last very long. But part of the reason he didn't last very long is because Milan had a much more inflated idea of their own role now because of what Sacchi had done the first time and he just wasn't up to it. So it did come back to haunt him to a certain extent.
But it is an incredible story of a shoe salesman going all the way to the Italy national team job with a couple of European Cups thrown in there along the way
and
as well.
Rafa Benitez's favourite coach as well, Pete Donaldson.
Is that true?
Apparently, yeah.
Frank Rijkaard went on to manage Barcelona and sort of create the blueprint for what they achieved.
And win the Champions League,
And presumably that there would be some influence and some lineage through from what he experienced under Sarri.
But, you know, very important in the modern game and so on. But not letting him get away with it, of course. Great shame about those comments.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think if you look at Italy, they've always had that problem with aldermen who can't really understand.
That's probably most
European countries. Yeah, but Italy in particular, they've got a lot of people who either weren't born in Italy and they play for the national team and stuff. And these are players who have got caps, won things with Italy, and older people don't like that sort of thing.
I bet he was celebrating when Moise Kean scored.
He bet he was. If there's one person in this room who knows his way around Sacchi, it's probably you.
Hey.
So, you want to have the final word? Get it down.
I like Sacchi.
Well, I'll let Rigo have the last word. He says, football is the most important of the least important things in life.
It's good.
What do you work like that?
He was an entertainer.
Good turn of phrase. Apparently he's very good on the TV as a pundit now.
Philosophical egg.
Yeah.
I was saying he's an entertainer. He used to be Star Wars, now a bit more in Four Wars.
Yeah, quite possibly. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to episode 6 of our 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. As always, in this 12 Egg series, we're back tomorrow.
Bye. Stop it.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Oh, I used to really fancy Pagliuca when I was a kid.
He's a great lad.
What a lad.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.